Johnson of WISN. Again, excuse me, folks. I'm awfully sorry. Just a minute. This is my jump rope, and I just want to get room enough here to get out to the curb. You can see from my difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, how many people there are in downtown Milwaukee. One man just said he didn't care about my difficulties, but I do. Here we are. We're back out on the curb. I just saw a young couple kissing each other, and I dare say that was in celebration of this day, sir. Well, this is WISN Milwaukee, sir, and we'd like to hear from you. What is your name?
My name is Frank Bronson.
Frank Bronson?
Frank.
Where do you live, Frank? Where do you live?
New York City.
New York City? What are you doing out here in Milwaukee?
I'm visiting France.
Oh, you are? What do you think of this celebration?
I think it's grand. I happen to be out 1 month and 2 days.
I see. Is this your wife?
Friend of mine.
Oh, I see. What is your name?
My name is Ruby Wright.
Ruby. Don't be nervous, Ruby. This is a great day. There's no reason to be nervous at all. Well, are you from Milwaukee or New York?
No, I'm from Evanston, Illinois.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What do you think of this celebration?
I think it's wonderful.
You think these Japanese people are going to try this again and make us go through another celebration like this?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Well, thanks an awful lot, folks. We're glad to have heard from you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we question anybody else, for the benefit of you who can't get into Milwaukee this evening, either through illness or for any other reason you have to stay at home, I'd like to describe for you just briefly the scene here. It's hard to describe. For a minute, up west on Wisconsin Avenue, I thought I saw a very beautiful lady up on somebody's shoulders, but it isn't. Somebody has evidently taken a sign from in front of a theater, and that is the lovely lady that I thought I saw. She seems to be coming this way. There are multitudes, literally thousands of people, milling in either direction. There's more confetti coming down every minute, more paper. Just a minute, I have to get this line again. But there is still no sign of any belligerent behavior. People are conducting themselves well. There's no property damage, no fights, no loud arguments or anything. Everybody seems to be having a very fine time and behaving themselves very well doing it. There are little children here, as well as their parents and grandparents, little children being carried up on the shoulders of their parents. And it's just a swell sight. I wish that you could be down here. There's colored hats, there's noisemakers, there are all kinds of trinkets that people carry with them in a celebration like this. And because this is a bigger celebration than many of these people have ever seen before, they've got more of these noisemakers and things with them, and we like to hear that noise. I see a man out in the street trying to light a cigarette, and the people are too thick around him to get it lighted. Well, let's hear from some people. Here's a gentleman just about to read a newspaper over here. Why read a newspaper, sir, when you can talk over WISN? What is your name?
Gaetan, but just bought this as a souvenir, the end of the World War.
That's right, it is, isn't it? That's a paper you'll be hanging on to. You say your name is Couton?
Gaetan.
Gaetan. Where do you live, Mr. Gaetan?
North Maryland.
North Maryland. Do you remember the last celebration in 1918?
Very well.
Were you in Milwaukee then?
No, I wasn't.
Where were you at that time?
Joliet, Illinois.
What do you think of the celebrations then and now? Do you think the people are even happier now, more exuberant than they were then?
I think they are.
I think so, too.
Wait till they get started a little bit.
Yes, wait till they get started. Do you have any relatives or friends in the service?
Yes, a good money.
Any in the Pacific?
No, fortunately, we don't have any.
But anyway, you can be expecting whoever they are back home, can't you, within a reasonably short period of time. Is this your son?
Yes.
What is your name in Quinlan?
Terry.
Terry? How old are you, Terry?
10.
You're a fine-looking boy. Do you know what day this is?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Bob Johnson at the Riverside Theater in downtown Milwaukee. We return to our studios. Here's a bulletin from the WISN newsroom. Selective Service Director Lewis B. Hershey tonight ordered local draft boards to cancel the induction of all men over 26 years of age. I'll repeat. Selective Service Director Lewis B. Hershey tonight ordered local draft boards to cancel the induction of all men over 26 years of age. Hershey told local boards he was acting in compliance with the president's announcement that there would be a substantial reduction in the draft and a lowering in the age of men to be inducted. Assignment of men over 26 to work of national importance was also halted. In telegrams to local boards, Hershey said that they were to continue to induct youths from 18 through 25 who are not eligible for deferment. The result of this, he said, will be that most of the registrants called will be age 18. Registrants between 26 and 37, Hershey said, will no longer have to file requests for deferment. files of men over 26 will remain in the possession of local boards, Hershey said. He added that local boards will continue to register all persons liable for the draft. I'll repeat that very first paragraph. We now leave our studios and go to Wisconsin Avenue for a description of the celebration. And our first broadcast comes to us from Jack Raymond.
Good evening, Jack. Ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Raymond atop the Wisconsin Tower on the corner of 6th and Wisconsin Avenue here in downtown Milwaukee. We're going to try to pick up Bob Johnson over the Riverside Theater. They tell me that he's having an awful lot of trouble over there. We're so very conveniently located up here on the 22nd floor, looking out the window, really enjoying ourselves up here. Bob, can you hear me at all?
I can hear you, Jack.
How do you feel over there, Bob?
Well, I feel a little put upon, Jack. After all, you and you have the advantage of me. You're up in the sky. You have a bird's eye view, so to speak, and I have a worm's eye view.
Well, that's one way of having your clothes pressed, Bob.
Well, it certainly is, except the crease is going the wrong way, Jack.
Is that right? You mean out front?
Out front, yeah.
Well, Jack and Bob, I think there's one thing that Bob definitely has in favor of us. He's down there where he can really see those people, and if any spirits are forthcoming, well, he's in good position for it.
Well, Hugh, sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to comment that Hugh is right there, that if there are any spirits, the only difficulty is the spirits aren't quite close enough. However, I do have this marked advantage, and I am down here with all the pretty girls, and that is something that you can't say. What have you got to say about that?
Well, go ahead, Jack.
Mr. Saxon's up here with me, and that's enough for me.
You mean to tell me that's all you have?
That's all.
Would you like to say hello, please?
Oh, Saxon.
Hello.
Are you kidding? We have young ladies up here. We have about a dozen of them. They're all employees of WF Grand Company, and they're having a grand time. In fact, everybody's kind of chipped in, and we have Coca-Cola, and we have root beer, and somebody carry on.
Hugh.
Yes.
Just about this time, I feel very put out.
What was that?
Just about this time, I feel very put out. Bob's down there with all the lovely women. You're over there with a Coca-Cola bottle, and I'm stuck up here with Ella Saxon.
Yes, but I neglected to mention, Jack, that the pretty women aren't paying any attention to me at all. I think that they're really intrigued by the microphone, not me.
I see. Well, there's a funny thing happening here along the avenue from this point of view.
Yeah?
When we started this broadcast from up here some half hour ago or so, some 30 minutes ago, The solid jam of people ran from the river that we could see. Can you hear that, Bob?
I can hear it.
Somebody just set off something. I don't know. It sounds like the end of the world.
Yeah, it did here.
Well, anyway, this getting back to the solid mass of people.
Yeah.
It was at one time solid from the river that I can see over here to the other side of the Boston store on 4th Street. Now, between 4th and 5th is completely filled in, and between 5th and 6th, just below me here, they have little knots of people. Every once in a while, somebody goes on a rampage, and they do a jig or a dance or something. They scrape up some of their paper, throw it up into the air, and it looks very much like a minor explosion. What's happening over there? Can they move at all?
Well, down here in front of the riverside, Jack, we have about the same situation, although once in a while you're deceived into thinking that the crowd is thinning out. Also, I noticed that while earlier in the evening you didn't see many people on Plankinton, they're beginning to feed off Wisconsin to Plankinton, perhaps walking in crowds, coming and going with the will of the mobs. The mill stream is becoming tiresome, and they're going off to the side where they can do some convenient window shopping. I have noticed all evening long, and I talked with a police officer down here, that Milwaukee celebration, while it is exuberant and it betrays the joy of the people in Milwaukee, has been very well ordered. How do you find it, Hugh?
Well, from here, they seem to be very well ordered. The traffic going east is all on the right side of the street, and the traffic coming west is all on the left side. The only thing wrong here is that every once in a while, somebody up in front of this milling crowd will stop. And practically within a matter of 5 or 6 seconds, everybody's grouped around them. It looks something very much like a dice game down here. I mean, I can't quite see the dice, but I can see them on their knees, and there's no other reason for a man to be on his knees.
Bob, I have the advantage point. Jack, you're up pretty high. Bob is on street level, so he can't see what that situation is. I'm on the second story here, and I can see what those little knots of people are. Either a soldier or a sailor, or groups of soldier or sailors,
yes,
find themselves a pair of young ladies, and they seem to have accomplices who form circles around them and
they really have themselves a good necking party.
You mean, Hugh, that you're at last confessing that all this time you have been a second story man, is that it?
That is absolutely right, and I am not ashamed of it. I am not down on the worm side of the view.
And it took a BJ day to bring that out of him, too.
Yeah, it did.
That second story, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I have somebody else that'd like to say hello.
Oh, boy, this is swell, hey, no kidding.
Well,
Bob, tell me, are those people really as thick as it looks from up here? I mean, they don't seem to be moving at all. It looks very much like a still picture.
Well, of course, Jack, you see things differently in your perspective. I mean, from the distance you are, say, from the Riverside Theater, it would seem as though the people are jammed tight, but actually they aren't. For instance, there are two flags right now. It's the first time this evening I've seen them coming down, coming east on Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
One, of course, is the American, and I think the other is a Chinese flag. I'm not quite sure.
What about good neighbor?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen other flags here. I saw a Polish flag this evening, and I saw a Russian flag. And now, perhaps you can already hear it, in the other direction is coming one of these many makeshift bands. Hugh, I imagine you've had a lot of these dishpan bands passing by your way tonight.
Yes, we
this
had a lot.
This is Studio B calling Jack,
yes.
Bob, and Hugh.
Yes.
Hello,
yes.
Boys.
How are you, Milt?
Hi, Milt.
What are you doing back at the studio?
Boys, I am munching a hamburger.
How do you like that? We've been trying for food. And he is up there munching a hamburger.
Not only that, but I have two cases of Coca-Cola.
I suppose you have your shoes off and you're resting very comfortably.
Yes,
yeah,
he's
just bragging, boys. He's just bragging. I mean, there's no meat in that hamburger. He's stretching the point there.
Any time you boys don't want to talk anymore, you just return it to the studio.
Say, Mel, who was that in there with you?
Mr. Grignon.
It was.
Who's that?
Who's that? I don't know.
Never heard of him.
He works here, too.
Oh, he does. That's right.
Mr. Grignon. I wonder,
we might as well enlighten you folks. I think that he's the boss.
No.
Well, no. I've heard tell.
Did he buy the hamburgers?
Say, boys,
wow.
Just to keep the record straight, Jack, suppose you first, what is your opinion on how long this crowd's going to last? You think
I haven't the slightest idea. Frankly, for a while there, I thought it was thinning out. When we went into this broadcast, I really did believe that some of these people were actually going to leave that mess down below here, but they're not really. For every three that come out, six go in. That's about the average. Now, the time just about now is about 6 minutes of 11, and I thought possibly by 1 o'clock we could be home in bed, but I doubt it very much.
Say, boys.
Yes.
Getting back to Mr. Grignon and all the ribbing we were giving him just a few moments ago, you know, since this war is over, and the talk has been that after the war there's going to be some changes made and all that such sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, talking about getting shirts ripped off your back, right down in front of me.
Now, keep going, boy.
I have
keep
a group on. Of boys. They're just literally tearing to shreds the shirt on one chap, and he seems to be enjoying it. In fact, right now, they have started on his pants. Well, I'm glad television isn't here. See you later, boys.
Well, what's important is... The important thing is, Hugh, have you still got your shirt?
Absolutely right. And I also got a tie from W.F. Graham this evening. How do you like that?
Oh. Well, maybe I'll get in to see a free show.
Well, at least I'm up here in the wind. That's something.
Well, you're with Ellis.
Well, boys, this Bob at the Riverside, I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, to tell the story down here is merely to tell the same story we've had all evening. The only thing that I can add right now is that my last and final thought, I give it to you before the next one, 60 seconds from now, is that the crowd is, if anything, getting bigger. And, by the way, you boys may remember early in the evening I talked about a cardboard girl that was carried east on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, she's coming back, but all that's left of her is her legs.
Incidentally, Bob.
Yes?
You know where that cardboard girl was taken from?
No, but I got suspicions.
Oh, you have suspicions. Say, Bob, and you being on the ground floor there, have you noticed the stores removing merchandise from their windows?
No.
Have you noticed that?
No.
Well, across the street from me is a jewelry store, and every bit of merchandise is removed is a shoe store, and...
Well, that's understandable, Hugh. I mean, after all, look who's on the second floor.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm up on a balcony. Would you boys like to come over and see me?
No, down here they feel safe with me. They even left the picture running all night.
They did, huh?
Yeah.
Say, Bob Johnson and Hugh Williams, would you quit admiring yourself? What's happening over there?
Well, we're describing scenes for you.
Well, now, I think in all fairness, we ought to throw this back to Jack. What have you got to say for yourself, Jack?
Nothing, now that you mention it. Not a thing.
If you'll keep your eyes open, Jack.
I've been staring at the Schrader Hotel here for so long, the lights just won't go on. It seems everybody in the hotel is out of the place.
Wait a minute, boys. Wait a minute. There's an effigy of Hirohito going up, and it says, "So sorry." Something about Harbor. Pearl Harbor is, well, I can't make it out, but if you boys keep an eye out, you'll see this awful effigy of Hirohito. I understand he is a man of some position over in Japan. I don't know. That will be coming up your way any day now.
Say, Bob and Jack.
Oh, by the way, here's also an American Red Cross blood donor service. No, that went down Plankinton north. You won't see that.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah. No,
boys, from this place, looking over at the Wisconsin Hotel, an ambulance has pulled up there. Something has happened. Either somebody has fainted, somebody has been hurt in the crowd, or either a firecrack explosion. I see a greater portion of the crowd moving over to that ambulance now. If there's any way to make clear and give room. I don't know what the trouble is. I will watch and let you know later.
Say, you know, speaking of ambulances, you and Jack, I wondered if it wouldn't be a word of advice to the people of Milwaukee. You know, this celebration, this happy occasion is going to be in our minds for several days from now. I mean, uppermost in our minds. And I wonder if it wouldn't be a good idea if we caution people against the excesses of celebrating. I mean, reckless driving and the usual accidents.
Well, that might be a very good idea. Hugh, supposing you remind the good people of Milwaukee about that.
I was interested in something else. There's a sailor walking down here without any pants. All he has is his shorts on, and he's attracted quite a crowd. I'm sorry, boys, I wasn't listening to what you were saying. My mind was way off.
Bob was suggesting that due to the fact that these thousands and thousands of people down here in Wisconsin, I know that it might be a good idea to kind of warn these people that, well, to be a little careful. I mean, nobody wants to get hurt. Everybody wants to have a good time, but really and seriously, nobody does want to get hurt. Suppose you tell the good people about that.
Well, that's absolutely right. Now, what I've seen in front of me from the point that I do have, everything has been swell down here. The crowd has been behaving themselves admirably, and I don't see where anything can happen. I think that might be just a case of fainting over there from excitement. But I would also point out that if anybody has a weak heart or that can't stand much excitement, well, just stay home and listen to the three of us. That's good pastime.
You know, speaking of passing out or fainting from excitement, I can't help this evening but have noticed the expressions on the faces of people of various ages. Of course, Jack, you wouldn't see that so well. Hugh, you might have.
I can't see any of them at all up here.
Except I've noticed that the old people have taken this thing quite calmly and resignedly. I mean, with the wisdom that seems to come with their age. And the younger the people are, the more exuberant, until finally you get back down to little children who are quite quiet about it all, simply because they're unwrought by the whole thing and don't understand. And in between that, you have old people in their late teens and early 20s that are quite exuberant about this. And take it, so to speak, on the crest of the wave.
Bob, may I break in here? I'd like to mention, too, that in just about 2.5 minutes, we're going to join the Columbia Broadcasting System for some late news.
Oh, yeah.
And also to the effect that Mr. Saxon out there with somebody is wanted back here at the studio. So, boys...
Mr. Saxon is?
Yeah, Mr. Saxon's wanted back here at the studio. So
Milt.
Line things up a little bit.
Milt.
Yeah.
We would not like to have you forget about that food. Would you kind of relay the message, John?
Yeah, we have a desk of it for you here.
You're not kidding, are you, Mel?
No, just come on back.
We're pickled to the bone.
Well, that's all from 3rd and Wisconsin Avenue and from Williams. We'll see you back here later, boys. Goodbye.
And that's, thanks to Hugh. That's all from Bob Johnson, except about that food. Send it by carrier pigeon. If he drops the food, I'll eat the pigeon. It doesn't make any difference. Take it away, Jack.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Hugh. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think this crowd's going to let up at all. So if you have time, come on down and really see this, because it is worth seeing. So long. This is Jack Raymond saying so long from the Wisconsin Tower.
Well, you've been listening to Jack Raymond at the Wisconsin Tower on 6th and the Avenue. Hugh Williams, on the second floor of the F.W. Grand Building on 3rd and the Avenue. And Bob Johnson on Wisconsin Avenue in front of the Riverside Theater. I have a little story here that is very appropriate at the moment. It's a story that reads, the prompt lifting of gasoline, shoe, fuel oil, and tire rationing is expected. I'd like to repeat that. It's expected. It isn't in effect now. Prompt lifting of gasoline, shoe, fuel oil, and tire rationing is expected. And also, food rationing may be relaxed soon and may be over by next July. I'll repeat that again. Food rationing may be relaxed soon and may be over by next July. And the production of washing machines, refrigerators, and other goods probably will double previously expected figures in 1945.